Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against evil empire.
Welcome y'all to the Prophecy Zone. Today is the 29th of October, 2009. This year has gone by really quickly, and we're fast approaching the snow. And the people up in Spokane, we already had two bad winters, and hopefully this is not the third. But I'd like to send a shout out to all the people on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to just pray that the Lord will lead me and give me the words to speak and open the hearts and minds of people out there. The hate bill just passed, and the word hate bill. Remember 1984, everything was in reverse. 1984 was a book about one world government, the new world order, total totalitarian government, ran not by the people, but the people were slaves. And you call black white, cold was hot, good was bad, snow was summer, and everything that the 1984 wrote about, George Orwell wrote about, he was writing about a future time when there would be one global government, one government body controlling everything. Now we have sovereign nations, and ladies and gentlemen, we just moved one step closer to a one world government. The hate crimes bill is just that. It, technically, it's one step lower than a thought crime, which they do have legislation in Congress. And believe it or not, if you think you're going to rob a bank, they can come and arrest you for robbing a bank. Look it up. Go to Google and look it up. Now, the hate crimes bill just passed. And it's bad news for Christians. Bad news for Christians. Because now they can come on your radio program, on your radio station, and say, hey, you got to play homosexual broadcasting. It has to be an even slate. And see, the American people, what I've said in past shows is that the American people, especially African Americans, are numb. And see, as a people, and I said I was going to talk about this today, and like I say, you just have to go and check out what I say. Just don't believe everything. And I'm not going to say anything factual today, but it's kind of like just my ideas of where we at. I do believe that we are looking for that one man to change the world and be our savior. And we have various denominations in the African American community, but a lot of us are a lot of African Americans are Baptists. And true, we have went through slavery, we have went through the civil rights movement, and came out of it. And we're getting at the tip Of course, all the people in slavery already passed away. We are at the tip of a lot of people that were in the civil rights movement passing away. The youngest person being like, what, 40, in the mid-40s. The baby, the I'm just saying like 1960, let's say 1960, the person would be in 2040, 49. I think my mathematics are bad. But anyway, the baby boomers generation is getting older too. So this generation, the new generation coming, or is already here, and we're expecting a payback, a retribution. Some people say, no, we're not. Well, there's a lot of educated African-Americans. Some of the smartest people I've ever met were my people. Smartest people, because African-Americans have what is called street smarts, too. I've seen some highly educated street smart people, and you can't pull the wool over their head. But somehow or another, the government has this potion of putting people to sleep. Especially in my community, especially in my race. And see, some of the most strange responses I've gotten were from African Americans when I tell them something like the Federal Reserve is not federal, neither does it have a reserve. Some of the most strange looks when I told somebody that there was no weapons of mass destruction, especially for my mom. Some of the most strange reactions come when I tell them that 9/11 was a complete inside job. And that a small amount of people run the world. But see, going back to the African Americans, we are a race that shouldn't be telling our kids, especially on CNN specials, the plight of the African-American male. All you need to do is tell that, give the dude the tools to go forth and make his way. You say, well there are no government jobs. Well, there ain't no government jobs for the white man either. But I think we should prepare our kids. Especially in the Christian faith, we need to prepare our kids to be ready for the workforce. I mean, just don't assume there ain't going to be no jobs there. Don't sit there on CNN and tell them, oh, there's a plight, you know, there's a rough sledding for the African Americans. Don't tell them that. Just prepare them. You don't need any specials on TV. Tell them that if you tell somebody that if you tell a perfectly fine person that they're handicapped, sooner or later they're gonna believe. Say that's what that show is for. It's just showing us what we're going through as a race. So you go tell a president of the United States who don't really have the credentials that he can't be president. Imagine if somebody would have came up to him and said that. What do you think? Now we have doctors, lawyers, presidents, governors. Well, the chances of us surviving in a corporation is zero, blah, 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 blah. Just prepare the person, please. So what does this have to do with prophecy? I'm getting to it. So I wanted to cover the African-American fight. I mean, what's really going on with the African-American community? As far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, why is the African American society so bent on being helped by the government that we look towards Barack Obama to save us? We're looking for the next Martin Luther King, per se, instead of looking for Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, you got to live out here. He says, occupy until I come. But he also says all the way through the New Testament, they're looking for a kingdom. He says, this world is not my, this is, I'm not of this world. This is not my home. I'm a pilgrim here. So, we as an African, as a race, is looking for that Savior, even those who go to church, especially those faith movement churches, that faith is a force. May the force be with you. No, you're focusing on force. You're focusing on everything other than Jesus. Well, I rely on his promises, but the force, you know, I've heard some crazy stuff from the faith movement people. But as an African American race, there's a lot of us in the faith movement. We are in Baptist churches. And the dangerous thing is, and it's partially true, and I'm going to explain this right quick, and then I'm going to try to bring everything together. I know y'all probably say, please do. But once saved, always saved is, to me, true, and if you put it in this right perspective. But the human, you must not rule out the human will. See, everybody says, well, God saves everybody. You know, he saves the people, and he says that I'll never lose one of them, which he's not lying. But God also painted us a picture, and I'm going to go back to everything I just mentioned. God also painted us a picture of the wheat and the tares growing together, the fruit on the tree, it's not right, it's not wrong. He's also given us warnings according to the word of God if a person is right or wrong. Now, you can be a person with perfect fruit and be cheating on your wife or cheating on your husband or stealing candy bars. Oh, I got a really bad habit of stealing candy bars from stores, you know, stick the Snickers in your hand and with your fingers just push them up your sleeve. Have you ever seen a klepto that goes into the stores and steals stuff? And they go to church and I'm saved. Now, what if that individual had all the perfect attributes of a Christian except that one problem? Now, God is in the process of working that person out, working that stuff out. But if they die in that sin, I don't know. But God knows who's saved and who is not. Once saved, always saved is a true statement only if we knew truly who was saved. So my point is this. God will never lose whoever's truly saved, but he only knows who is truly saved. So the foreknowledge, I've been saved since the foundations of the world, like as if you really know, as if you're God and you were there. So you know you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the only one who knows the beginning from the end. Then 2 weeks later, he's cheating on his wife. And I'm not judging him. I'm just making a point. That can happen to any of us, the best of any of us, but I'm just making a sarcastic point. So what does this have to do with the African American? Well, there are theologies that are killing the African American society, and there is also what is called physical needs. And I'm going to break one down for you, what the Bible calls covetousness. It's wanting things because your society is suppressed or your society has not I won't say that. I'll just say the American dream is available to anybody. Okay? The same attributes that will cause a white man to go to hell is same attributes that would cause a black man to go to hell. How many people know that out there? So, regardless of what color you are, the devil is going to use the same tactic. And it says in Corinthians, and tonight I'm not calling any first-day scriptures out because I don't want you fumbling through your Bible, not yet. But in the first part of Corinthians, it talks about the Satan has blinded the eyes of men. And if you, by the way, if you want to hear me talk, flip through the pages, just stay tuned next week or look the last week's program, because I've decided just to talk, just to speak. But the first part of Corinthians talks about Satan has blinded the eyes of men, that they will not see. So it does not matter what race you are, Satan is still using the same text from generation to generation and onward. Do you know that in the millennium period, there's still going to be some people, and I like to use the word fool, but there's still going to be some people rebelling against God after all, seeing all of this, seeing people live for thousands and thousands. They're going to see people that who go from the tribulation period onward who live another 1,000 years, and at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is released from prison to tempt people again. How do you fall then? I have no idea. And I'm praying to God I won't be one of them. But, see, an African-American culture has been blinded by the devices that are not only in the garden, see, the Satan has multiplied those devices from the garden, because Jesus when he was led up to the mountain to be tempted by Satan, Satan took advantage of the situation, the tribe took advantage of the situation, and say that God was not dependable, God was not all-powerful, God can't deliver his promises, and God is not all you need. You need more than just God. You need power. And those things that the Satan is still going, is still tempting man with now. And see, he gets you at your most vulnerable time. That's why he likes to cause confusion and division in marriages. So he can get the husband to get into a position of loneliness, and he can get the wife in a position of loneliness. And then they'll go, and then he'll set somebody up at work. He'll set somebody up wherever your place of business is. And boom, got you. And see, he don't care if you're doing, if you're neutral. So everybody's always thinking, well, Satan, he's gotten Pastor Jones, Pastor Leroy Jones, to cheat on his wife, and blah 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 blah. That to me, he's in a better position than somebody who's self-righteous and who don't do anything wrong. Those are the scary people. Because remember, in Revelation, talking to the church of Laodicea, he says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Those lukewarm people are the most scary people you can figure. Because they walk like a duck, talk like a duck, quack like a duck, but truly, they ain't no duck. Because remember the person I just went back to that I was talking about that had all the attributes of a Christian, but one thing was pulling them down? That's why the Bible says that let go of all those things that easily beset you, that are weight holding you down to progress for God. And there are weights all over the place that are holding us down that we cannot progress for God and walk forward and victory. And see, we have to get our minds on Christ. And going back to the African American, when you're looking for a man to be president, oh, our first black president. Oh, hallelujah. There's so many black African Americans, including myself. I went dumb for a second, knowing that a politician is a politician is a politician. There are some great politicians, but I don't see any partner of the Red Sea. What I mean by that is I think President Obama's blown out of proportion big time. I think he's so overweighted it's almost sickening. And see, that's why the Antichrist is going to get everybody, but that's a future show. But to make my point, what I've been trying to make is that a culture like the African-American culture, Satan has blinded the African-American culture greatly. Because there are just as many devices that the African-American has to fight through and gain and get through and maneuver through. And there's so many hopes that the African-American have that Satan has painted a blinding delusion to make the African-American look less likely to succeed. But yet he don't want anybody to focus on the point that there are African-Americans in Brown University and Yale and Harvard and Michigan State and Michigan and Iowa State. I mean, there are African-Americans who get straight A's and are brilliant and are working. My brother-in-law is an engineer, and he does well. My uncle was a doctor. Of course, I don't like what kind of doctor he was, but I won't go into that. But he was a doctor. He's a retired doctor. Pretty rich, pretty big house. A lot of my family members are successful. I know a lot of people that are friends that were successful that are in the African American community. But overall, Satan wants to paint a hopelessness so he can send somebody our way or send some form of a package deal our way. So we have focused on that package deal, like President Obama, and get our eyes off Jesus. But no, that's not the case. Or when I say that he can send something to you that everybody has problems with, the white man has problems with sex. The white man has problems with weed or drugs or alcohol. The white man has problems with covetousness. African Americans have those same problems. Let's address the undercover brother, please. What makes brothers do that stupid stuff? I mean, man, I'm sorry. And God is forgiving God, but he's also judging God. Now, I'm going to say it nicely, but I'm just going to. What makes a brother do that? I mean, I'm baffled. I'm confused. But let's relate it to the spiritual realm. Okay, I ain't talking about going back, talking about Ham or somebody like that. Oh, please spare me. Don't go and assume something. Matter of fact, I just learned my lesson about assuming something in the Word of God. Quit doing it. Just stop assuming. Assuming is like, wow, armpits. You can't assume everything. You just can't assume that, you know, unless you can prove it with the Word of God completely. But why is the culture so to a point where we are looking for a savior other than Jesus? Now, has Jesus become outdated? Has the Lord become outdated? Has Christianity become an embarrassment to even the strong Christians? It was down in the South and all over the place, you know. African Americans got through the Civil Rights Movement because of God, and they got through the slavery because of God. Definitely slavery. But see, God has built us not only as humans, but he's also built us as self-willed agents so we can do what we want to do. He's also built us with a mechanism to survive and be successful and sometimes be happy. Now, you notice I said happy, not joyous. Joy comes at the hardest point. No matter what happens, you still got joy. But in happiness is temporal. It goes, comes. Now, there's a lot of happy, unsaved people. I understand that. There's a lot of happy, unsaved people. save people. I understand that. But as you become a born-again Christian, the peace that God can only bring surpasses all understanding. There's no peace that a man can provide for you. There's no safety. What does it say in Psalms 91? That God protects us. There's no safety other than in God, because He's created us. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow, 5 years from here, and the rest of your life. If you go into the millennium period, He knows exactly what's going to happen to you. If you go down to hell, He knows exactly what's happening to you. He knows everything. But we must, as an African-American race, put our eyes back on Jesus. Because of the route that we're going, even some of the there is a fire of Christians who believe that Jesus Christ is a person of slavery. I'm not saying that's the case, but I meet a lot of African-Americans who are sort of getting tired of God. The Bible says that do not grow weary while doing good. Everybody's not following Jesus. It's like a bell bottoms, you know. I don't like bell bottoms because nobody else is wearing them no more. Why don't you just wear them to be different? You know? Everybody wants to be a carbon copy of the next door neighbors. Well, next door neighbors ain't doing that. We don't have to do it. That's silly. Okay, so here's the deal with, I'm going to talk about my show right quick. Here's the deal with the show. I'm going to make it professional. I'm just going to break it down, make it professional. And I'm not going to tell y'all anything else, but it's I'm going to change everything. It's not even going to be, it's going to be like, just like a normal, nice radio program, better than Rush Limbaugh. But I'm going to talk about a lot of different things, but it's going to be darn good. And then also my video is going to be on YouTube pretty soon. I'm going to be making professional ones that are great. If anybody's out there listening, but go to omega2.com. That's my new website. I kind of left some stuff off, but just go there and upload. If you got some 300 by 300 pictures and stuff, photos, do me a favor. Make sure everything is clean. I'm also making a 24-hour prophecy. Not prophecy, but it'll be based off prophecy. Website, and that's coming pretty soon. It's already almost done. I just got to tinker with some stuff. And also, Omega Radio will be coming up, and I almost got that done as well. And then the Prophecy Zone, I got a whole lot of things in the works. Most of it's already done. Just go and check it out for yourself. This country is headed in the wrong direction, and I'm sort of changing the subject, but the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's in Isaiah chapter 4. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge. God has provided the word of God for us, and false prophets come in and they sneak in privately. And the Bible says in Jude that they even deny the Lord that brought them. Now, I am scared to put on some radio program that talks about false prophets, but I will do it. I'm scared. No, I'm not really scared. I'm just, but people need to know that there are false prophets out there. That we have to be aware of, and they are in the church, but the Bible talks about that as well. Now, the Bible talks about making no provision for the flesh. What does that mean? That means if you can't handle something, stay out of it. I was upstairs before the show a couple hours ago. I was up there eating. I was trying to watch the King of Queens, and it wouldn't work. I got, like, King of Queens on tape, and what I try to do is I'll look at my DVR and I try to pick out the ones that's cleanest. And that's a shame you got to do that today. You got to look and try to filter out stuff, and they call us a Christian nation, where I can't, I have to filter out programs. I have to, so I can watch The Biggest Loser, or I can watch like the American Idol. People make fun of Christians, make fun of people watching American Idol, but I'm like, that's about the cleanest thing I can find, you know, besides the news. And some Christians out there probably saying, well, you're splitting hairs, man. You lighten up. You know, that's why I like football so much, or basketball. And they, I mean, they occasionally start bucking, but it's clean. I mean, even though somebody's getting smacked around, it's still clean. You know? And people say, well, what do you watch that? You should be not, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, see, I'm born again. You know, I watch what I watch, and I listen to what I listen to, and I make sure I am in the right place, you know. But pride comes before the fall, and I pray that I won't fall. I'm not expecting too many people to listen to this program now at all, because I'm not sending out invitations. I'm not doing anything, really. I'm just sort of letting everything go, as far as even my chat room is empty, because I'm not really expecting anybody. It's just kind of like a show that I didn't even know was coming on. But starting next week, I will start getting people to people will know. My archives are big booming. I'm doing pretty darn good, especially my last show last week. Probably thanks to Facebook, and I'm happy about that. Facebook is doing me pretty darn good. So we got 22 minutes. I want y'all to relax and enjoy the rest of the show, and I want y'all to listen to my new theme song, and I'll be right back. Competition. Oh, there it is, like way in the back. So that's why you gotta. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. And I was looking at my the page where you go to. I'm gonna start hearing my double speak. I'm gonna have to start having some technical difficulties, because I accidentally opened up the page where.
That's why you gotta.
It's going to have reverb now, so I got to find a way to... I just got a new computer, an Apple computer, and I don't even know how to turn it down. That's embarrassing, because it's double speaking with me. Okay, I got it. Okay, so that's fine. Yeah, I got an Apple computer. It's an awesome computer. I recommend somebody out there should go ahead and get it. It's awesome. It's nice. You will love to go out and get your Apple computer. I have no gripes. I'm still learning how to use it, but I have no gripes. But I love my race. You know, I never change being. I never want to be white. I never want to be any other color. I don't even want to be light-skinned no more. I'm one of those light-skinned brothers back in the day to get all the girls, and all of a sudden, dark-skinned brothers start being the one. But I really don't give a darn anymore. You know, I don't even really care about being 40 years old. I'm just like, whatever. You know, I'm sort of lackadaisical. The only thing I care about right now is God, my family, and my wife, my kids, doing the right thing, you know, getting my credit, getting my bills paid, and going debt-free. That's about it, you know. And I'm looking for that blessed hope. And I'm also looking down here for another 20, 40, 50 years. So, yeah, you got to occupy. You can't be, like, looking out the window for Jesus every 5 seconds. But your conduct should stay to a point where you think you're coming back tomorrow. Because, see, what people do is they get relaxed. And that's what I talked about earlier when the African-American community, it's like all those old songs, you know, even Isaac Brothers made a song, "Everything is gonna be all right, he's coming back." They even made a song about, you know, Jesus Christ coming back to restore him a kingdom, you know. And it's become so out of date and so old-fashioned that nobody's looking for him. But the Bible spoke of in the last days nobody will be looking. You know, it caught the five virgins who had no oil by surprise. It says they didn't have, five had oil, five didn't. That oil, to me, my interpretation of it is that the oil represents the Holy Spirit, but the oil also represents a close relationship with the Lord. And the whole rest of the Bible explains line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It explains what the oil has to be represented, because you can't take one piece of doctrine and make your own, you know, you can't make your own church, because the Bible says that the Word of God is not of any private interpretation. That means eventually some group of the church has it. Now, when they say it's not a private interpretation, you mean that the whole world has it right? No, most of the church has it right. I was like, could that be true? Well, if you read the rest of the Word, you notice that the wheat has to grow up with the tares. Now, inside of the church is the body of Christ. And what is it? But the body, what did he say? He says, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So could the church actually be also called the body, but not yet the wheat are gathered with the tares? Now, when the Bible talks about not forsaking the fellowship of gathering of each other, the private interpretation comes when someone inside of the church decides, "Hey, I have what the right words," you know, and then he breaks away and says, "Okay, we over here have the right words. But you guys over there, you guys don't have the right word. You have a phony word. You don't have the right. You're off." So that is a dangerous thing, to think that you are the only one who has the right word to say. Okay. But look at our the leaders that the African Americans have, and none of them are solid. I mean, and I'm going to say this by a friend of people out there, but none of them are solid Christians. Jesse Jackson's not a solid Christian. He wouldn't do the things he do. Al Sharpton, I mean, maybe, but I mean, come on now. And the Bible talks about, "And they shall make merchandise with you." What did T.D. Jakes say? "And Jesus is the merchandise." Why would he say something like that? You can take that and run with it and say T.D. Jakes is going off the deep end. You can also tell by his movie, "Jesus is the merchandise." Some of these preachers say that doctrine don't mean nothing. You know, what do you mean doctrine don't mean nothing? Are you kidding me? Doctrine is almost everything besides Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That truth is the doctrine. If you take the truth off, how are you going to be set free? There ain't no way in the world you're going to be set free. You're going to be still dangling in your sin. You know, when that trumpet sounds, you're going to be sitting here talking about some wood hook. You're going to fall right into the tribulation period with the rest of these phony counterfeit Christian churches who think they got it right. Mega churches. God loves everybody. You know, I see on Larry King, what do you think about the blah, 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 blah?
Well, I can't say anything about them. I think God loves everybody.
Which he does, but God has some standards. And by his spirit, we can keep those standards. Not by might or by muscle, but by his spirit, says the Lord. We can only keep his word by the power of the Holy Ghost. We can't keep his word through any of the ritual, by any. We can't go to the bookstore. I used to have a hard time when I used to go to bookstores trying to look for a good book to read, trying to stay saved. The more books you read, the more, if God may be trying to tell you something among those books, if it feels like you just swallowed your throat, or if it feels like you just slapped your wife, you know, that bad feeling like, oh, man, what do I just do? Sooner or later, there's going to be a feeling to come. When you're reading all those books, there's going to be a feeling to come. I mean, God's trying to tell you, put down all those books. Did you, you know, read a few books, but be really particular what books you're going to read. There are people in the faith movement need to be escaping from the faith movement. If they lead with your words, you know, your words are spoken, you can create things out of your words. Sounds like a false doctrine to me. It says you lead with your words. Oh, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. What about a deaf man? He can't lead with his words. He doesn't have any words. Now, a blind person can see by, you know, faith, you have to be, you don't have to be able to physically see to have faith. Faith is something that you can't see regardless if you're blind or not, you know, you're blind or not blind. But when they say lead with your words, there's no way. But if you're deaf, you can't lead with your words. You can't talk. But if you, the just shall live by faith, you don't have to say a word. Your heart will do it. See, a faith without works is dead. And that is true. But God never told us that we have to. Now he said, if you confess with your mouth and Jesus and you believe in your heart. But the Bible also says that they speak with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What does that mean? So we have to watch our doctrine. I had somebody tell me that I can. You can, if you're single, of course, I knew the married man was doing it too. You can simulate it. You can go into a bathroom and simulate, you know, masturbate and be okay with it. Okay, mister, I'm going to believe you, Mr. Preacher. They walk away and not, you know, that's not a good thing to tell somebody. I just had somebody recently tell me, a pastor told me that I can drink. I know before anybody jump on me and start screaming, listen to what I got said in the last 10 minutes. I've already expressed with my pastor that I have a drinker. I had a drinker. I had. At the time, had a drinking problem. That was a while back. But I also expressed the fact that I had a beer or two a while back. a while back. Please listen to me. Not recent, a while back. And I told him that, you know, I shouldn't be drinking. So he comes back to me, you know, he's going around walking. Me and him was walking together, and he said, you know, there's no problem with drinking. Now, here's the problem. First of all, you don't tell an ex-alcoholic that you can go ahead and drink. So there's lack of discernment right there. If you don't have any discernment enough to tell somebody that you're gonna come and tell me I can drink, so I'm going to say, yeah, and go get drunk and then blame it on you. People are like that, too. People are just like that. But you don't tell an alcoholic he can drink. Now, the Bible calls alcohol a raving. Well, it chases after you. It's like a snowball going down the hill. You ever see those cartoons with a snowball going down the hill and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? It's raging. And fermented wine is straight up drunken alcohol. Now, the Bible's asking me to be sober. So, you know, the devil, the enemy, go around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. What do you think he's going to do to somebody to keep drinking? And if you become an occasional drinker, when does it come to a point where you become Laodicean? I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm because you're doing what everybody else is doing. You know, I mean, when did you draw the line that, hey, I'm going to be different. I'm going to come out of her. I'm going to come out of Egypt. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, praising God, loving God, being obedient to God. He says, if you keep my commandments, truly you are my disciple. And I'm trying to be a disciple by my own strength. No, you do it by the Holy Spirit. But you don't go and tell somebody they can drink. The point to what I'm trying to say is we have to test the Spirit. That I'm not just saying go to church, sit down 1 week, and then after that go brain dead. I'm talking about every week that you go to church, test the Spirit. Just like you test your husband. You know, you got wives out there, you say one word, they run with it somewhere else. They do something else with it. Or a husband, a wife might say something, and they run with it the opposite direction. Oh, and that's mean on your argument. So you're easy on your husband. I mean, you're mean on your husband, mean on your wife. But when you go hear the preacher, you're easy on him because the preacher, everything the preacher says is always right. Yeah, he's got the license. He's got the college degree. And he's always right. You know, we need to test the Spirit. We need to make sure that we are in the faith. We need to examine ourselves, and we need to examine what the pastor says as well. You know, there's a lot of pastors in the African American community that just come out, I'm sipping on. I go in there sipping me some cigars. I sip on some drink, something to drink once in a while, probably every night. That's his Holy Spirit. And then the fumes kind of through his body and his nostrils in the morning, that's the holy aroma. And this whiskey and wine, I'm not saying everybody's like that. I'm just sort of teasing. But we have to take a look at what our preacher's saying. It's like if somebody come by and want something to eat, you don't give them something, you know, bad out the refrigerator, spoiled milk. You give them something good. So if a pastor is giving you the word of God, then that's fine. That's not what I'm saying. Trust me, that is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we, just because a pastor has a college degree, don't mean anything. Now, I'm going to say something shocking. And I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm going to work and talk to y'all next week about it. And some of y'all might not like what I'm going to say, but if you go to YouTube and listen to Billy Graham, and I pray for Billy Graham's site, but I don't see how we can come and say, well, Billy Graham is a great pastor, you know, so he has a different grading scale than everybody else does. If you go on YouTube and look up Billy Graham and David Shuler, he's going to come on there and he's going to say that Jesus is not the only way. And see, people get mad at you because you can prove it, and it's very easy. Just go on YouTube and just look up Billy Graham, David Shuler, and you're going to see total denial of Jesus Christ as being the only way to God. Now, somebody had told me, well, maybe it was the Parkinson's disease. Well, maybe it will. It does mess up your memory, you know, but I think that for us to make provisions for one brother and don't make provisions for another, if you're falling, you're falling. And that's why the Bible says, blessed is he who, when someone falls, has somebody there to pick them up. But see, picking somebody up, like Billy Graham is like huge. He's like huge, and he's like larger than life. So you suppose his son might be able to pick him up? Maybe, maybe not. I think people are scared of Billy Graham or intimidated by Billy Graham because he is one of the United States' best, greatest pastors. And if you are saying that Jesus is not the only way, then not only has he left the building and forgot to finish it, blessed is the man who is not as big as Billy Graham and makes it to heaven. That's why the Bible doesn't speculate about being rich. You don't have to be rich to go to heaven. These prosperity preachers are talking about you got to have some money in your pocket. It's okay to get rich. Well, it is. It could be, but you got to put it in the right perspective because all y'all preach about is money. Oh, buy my book. Buy the cloak it with some that book. I'm going to give you my information that I can sell this information that's going to, you guys need this. This is something y'all need. You know, something you really need. You got to get your hands on this book, or if you don't, you're going to be messed up. I want you to get this book, you know. Well, okay, I'll get the book all right. Throw it right in the garbage. Because I'm telling y'all, the more books you get, the dumber you get. Now, the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge, but too much knowledge can make you dumb. You say, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about in the spirit, in the physical. I'm talking about in the spiritual. But you can read the right book. That's why you need to examine the books that you read. Go read 50,000 books if you want, but make sure they're not going to mess up your belief. Go and pray to God that you say, okay, if I start reading 100 books a year, please let me stay with the basics of Christianity, the common salvation talked about in Jude. There's a common salvation that can be claimed to a dying man in 3 minutes. If I divert from that simplicity of Christ, then please, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm going to offend people on this radio program, but Billy Graham is in trouble. Well, Parkinson's disease. Could it be because of the Parkinson's disease? Oh, so you're going to give him a way out, which God is the only judge, but you can judge also. You say, well, I'm not going to send him to hell. No, you're not going to be able to send him to hell. You can't send nobody to hell. Only Jesus can do that. But we could judge. If you judge that you shouldn't buy this new house or you should not run the red light, you're making a judgment. We make judgments every day. Come on, be for real. But God bless everybody out there, and we'll see y'all later. Good night.